This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet where we dare to ask questions about sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, and other assorted nerdy ephemera. I am Dan Selke, the editor of winteriscoming.net, and I am here with my co-host.
I'm Mia Johnson, co-editor over on winteriscoming.net and editor on Dork Side of the Force. And I guess, well, you see, today we have an extra special guest if you're watching us live because we have Jennifer Wood joining us. She's over from one of our wonderful, I guess you can call them sister sites within Minute Media.
And we will.
Mental Floss. Yeah. The managing editor. So, yeah. Hello and welcome. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I am doing good. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. And the reason we're having you on is because Mental Floss is putting out not a pamphlet, not a leaflet, but a full book.
Full book. big, handsome book. Yes, it's a sturdy, gorgeous book called The Curious Viewer.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I'm ready to talk about it. we were talking about, we didn't have any copies yet, but oh man, take a look at this gorgeous.
You're jealous, aren't you? I happen to have it open to the Game of Thrones page, but it's all, you know, sort of unique, like illustrations, art. So it's just, I was saying before that if I was not the editor of the book, I would definitely be buying it. It's just a lot of really, you know, kind of cool information and covering shows of the last 20 years. So we had to cut ourselves off somewhere, unfortunately, and we went with 20.
So what would you say, like, what is the, why would someone in a bookstore purchase The Curious Viewer? What is in there for the millions of fans of Take the Black Live?
There is, I feel like if you watch TV, you know, and you're kind of more than just a casual viewer, you like to kind of get that behind the scenes information. You know, Mental Floss is known for, we love to dig for research and little known facts. That's kind of what the brand is known for. This year is our 20th year. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. So we've been doing this a long
time. That's impressive,
We've been digging up facts like long before, you know, there were 20 facts about every show out there. And so it's been really great to be able to sort of comb through some of the previous interviews we've done over the years, as well as create new content for this book. But it really does just dig into TV shows that you've maybe watched 100 times, Friends, The Office, Game of Thrones, and then maybe shows that you've never watched yet. So our goal here is to sort of, you know, get you maybe reinterested in a rewatch of something you loved, remind you of a show that you watched in the past that you thought, oh, you know what? I want to
always nice.
Does it hold up? You know, 24 was a good example of that. I started rewatching 24 and they killed a lot of people in the first 5 minutes. You know, not something I remembered. But so it's really for, you know, we look at it as the kind of gift that, you know, I personally would be buying for myself as well as anyone else that I know who loves television, because there's just facts about, you're going to go from Game of Thrones to Gilmore Girls to Doctor Who to The Wire. So it's really, there's something in there for everyone.
That's awesome. Everyone knows here I'm a really big fan of Doctor Who, so I'm going to be like flipping to that page. Game of Thrones, and I'll flip to Doctor Who page, and then
I as well. So I would say that probably the bulk of that was my doing, and I probably tried to push a little, you know, a little further with how much space we devoted to certain shows, Doctor Who being one of them. So yes.
And I was wondering, how long did it take you to work on this book?
So we started working on, this is kind of the second book in the Curious series, we'll call it. So in May of this year, we had The Curious Reader that came out. Mm-hmm. And that was basically the literary version of what this book is. And our editor-in-chief, Erin McCarthy, was the editor of that title. This is kind of book number two, and what we hope will be an ongoing and long lasting series. So we really have been talking about it and kind of ideating and saying like, oh, it would be cool if we did a book like this. Here's the kind of thing we do. Probably going back about 2 years, we started really kind of working on it, head down, doing like the right. real work of it. In 2020, I think I'm getting my deadline confused, but we were still really able to add little things to it earlier this year, which was great because it allowed us to write about shows that like, had we been on a schedule, we have a part at the very end where all of our writers and editors sort of write a little bit about a favorite show of theirs. And most of them are more recent. So I wrote about sure. I May Destroy You, for example. Yeah. So we were able to get just a little bit of thing about newer shows that we didn't have, you know, this compendium of information right. on.
What can I add? So, blah, blah, blah. So if it's the curious viewer, I guess, A, how many shows are profiled in this book? And then B, I guess ballpark. And then B, if you're thinking of making this a series, not to get too MCU ahead of the curve on you, but does that mean the next book's being like the curious theater goer or something?
That could be something we would be discussing, or, you know, there's definitely some conversations. There's also some conversations about going backwards. So
for me,
there's a lot of like shows, particularly 80s shows that I would have loved to include. Even a show like Seinfeld didn't quite make like the cutoff in our timeline mm-hmm. of what we were doing. So if we were the MCU, phase two, exactly. answer your first question. Big profiles, I'm going to say there's like about 100 shows that we sort okay. of like do like a decent profile of. But then with each of those shows, we also do little like, if you like that, you know, here right. are some other shows you love. And we did allow ourselves some leeway to go back a little bit further than that 20 years to talk about, you know, if you love Downton Abbey, you know, watch the original Upstairs, Downstairs, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Or if you love Doctor Who, like go back and, you know, watch the original Doctor Who. There's a lot of TV shows talked about. And then a lot of little, in addition to just like the major profiles, we have sort of themes that go off of those. So one, for example, is, you know, shows that we kind of stole from the Brits. So we have a whole list of shows that we tried to remake successfully or not successfully. So we wrote about Broadchurch, for example, and then Grace Point, which nobody kind of saw, which was a remake also with David Tennant that did not hold up to the original, or The Inbetweeners. So we kind of we go off on little tangents there where we're able to kind of talk about another 10 shows. Sneak in more mentions there.
Yeah. So. Yes, there's just so much to write about. Like, we always talk about how just now there's always so much new stuff for us to watch uh-huh. that it's kind of hard to keep up. But this is also good because now it either helps you to revisit the stuff you like or to visit some new stuff that you might not have watched.
And even with, you know, I mean, with HBO Max, for example, it's like, I'm surprised sometimes when, and you guys, I'm sure, have this where you're talking to someone, you talk about Game of Thrones, and you'll meet someone, and they're like, I've never watched it. And it kind of like throws you for a minute here, like where you think we exist in a world where we think everyone has seen The Sopranos, The Wire. And when people tell me that they haven't, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, so you have to sort of recalibrate a little bit. And now it's not just the new stuff that's coming out. Like, you have access to so much great content. Yes. From years past that, like, mm-hmm. in my opinion, you must watch. You must watch the show, you know?
There's almost so much you kind of need a curation guide, because otherwise, what would you do? You're just awash mm-hmm. in a sea of Netflix, HBO Max, Paramount Plus, Apple TV Plus, the other three.
I can't keep track of what exists, and I have them all, you know? So I find myself watching shows that it's just sort of, you press play and you're like, I'm 10 episodes in now. So it really is that it's sort of trying to curate a guide for you a little bit. And also, but there's plenty of people who don't like, you know, X show. And so we're kind of trying to say, if you didn't like this, then you probably wouldn't like this. So stray more toward this direction. But it's just really, we do have spoiler alerts. I will say, even for sure, even though we're going back 20 years, we know that some people are reading these for the first time. So we definitely have some spoiler alerts on there for if you have not watched, you know, Game of Thrones, you know, don't read about Richard Madden, you know, learning about something. we put those in there.
Speaking on the topic of kind of a broadening your reach, we have a question from one of our esteemed Australian viewer, Julie Davies. Is the book mostly shows from the US or are there, I mean, Doctor Who, I guess, but are there other international shows in there?
It's definitely US heavy. Sure. What I actually say in the intro is when we talk about shows that I happen to be just like, I watch a lot of British TV. So I tried to be sort of pulled away from like, can I write 30 pages on the thick of it? And, you know, no, I was not allowed to do that. But so it's really kind of shows that we know have a large audience, a large fan base. But we definitely sneak in some recommendations of foreign shows to watch as well. Also, there's a lot of kind of Netflix content in there as well. Yeah. So stuff that, you know, is going to be global. We definitely have that in there. So Julie, hopefully you definitely find some shows to, if you're watching this, then you'll definitely find some shows that, that you like or that you would like to discover.
And of course, since this is a Game of Thrones podcast and you said we've got the Game of Thrones spread, I was wondering for you if there was a surprising fact, something that really surprised you that you include in the book that you can tease. I want to see if it surprises me or anyone in the audience as well. It's a little teaser.
You guys are a tough room for that.
That's I might not be. I'm still a novice. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so I think that, number one, I should say that we went Game of Thrones crazy. When the show was on,
we all did.
So much, yeah. So we have so much content on the site and we could definitely have filled, you know, five of these with just Game of Thrones. So and this is not in the book, but I will tell you, we did interview scientists about could the dragons actually fly, which is the kind of thing that Mental Floss likes to do. Go to experts and say things like, could Scrooge McDuck actually swim in a pool full of coins? And after they're done laughing at us, they answer our questions. So there's a story that we do. But I think there's a couple things. I mean, one of them, I love the story I think we were talking yesterday something about my love of animals. I love that Sansa in real life adopted her dire wolf lady.
That's very cute.
It was looking for a home. But one thing I really loved is that for the Battle of the Bastards, Kit Harington apparently is severely claustrophobic and said that was just, you know, nightmare fuel to film that. So they had to create a safe word in the filming of that. So that if it got too much, that he could use the safe word and didn't share what the safe word was. But, so we do have a little bit about that in there. There's a lot with Game of Thrones, you know, there's a lot of fun facts behind that. And I think, too, that when you're watching it, you can, as serious as it gets and as, you know, dramatic, there is that kind of comedic edge. There's a scene where, they're using another language, but they're actually using Monty Python insults, but they've like translated or that there's a Dwight Schrute impacted Dothraki. So there's like, it's called the Schrutian compound in Dothraki. So we have a lot of stuff in the book that even kind of brings it into other shows and other fandoms, which is a lot of fun to be able to do that crossover.
Sounds really, really cool. Really,
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So when does it come out? When can we finally grab this?
October 19th, it hits bookshelves, virtual bookshelves, wherever you buy your book. But it's available for pre-order wherever you get them. But it's available for pre-order now on any place you do that, Amazon, etc. So
my final question for you, Jennifer, as a fan of Veep, should I watch and think of it?
Yes. Okay. I mean, that is a hands down, even as not a fan of Veep, you should watch The Thick of It. There's a lot of similarities.
Sure.
But they actually had a swearing consultant. So they had a writer who specifically like amped up the swears. So it's more sweary, but it's British sweary. So Yes, you should
absolutely. I always heard it was good and I never just got around to it, but okay. I think I'll take the plunge now.
I want an update because it's one of the shows that I just watch on a loop and my husband will be like, I can tell, I just hear Peter Capaldi, he basically says he hears Doctor Who.
I love it.
Yeah, like that's like, he's like, I can't tell if you're watching Doctor Who or The Thick of It. And then he hears, a few F-bombs and figures that it's not Doctor Who.
I love it. Thank you, The Curious Viewer, out on October 19th, for changing my life in this way.
I'll show it again. Yes. And I want an update on that. And then when we do The Thick of It episode, I will come back and we will exchange sweary words.
Perfect. Well, Jennifer, any other thing you want to say before we play you off?
I will make sure you guys get some copies because you deserve them. So I'll make that happen for you. But yes, anyone who loves TV or loves someone who loves TV, check it out. Go online and you'll see some layouts and look forward to hearing people's thoughts on it. We're excited to get it in people's hands.
I love it. Thanks much for coming on. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Have a great day.
Bye. You too.
That was fun.
Awesome. Awesome.
I will probably read that. If they give us free stuff, I will definitely read that book. I wonder how much is written about each show, Is it just pages and pages and pages of text? I'm sure there are pictures in there too. I need some visual stimulation.
Yeah, it looks really nice. You can go on the publication website, I think Simon & Schuster. You get a couple of photos of the spreads and then you can kind of get a teaser from there. So it should be a really great book.
And Christian's into it. Julie, hello. Hello to everybody who is here. Joanne and Stephanie and Nancy. Good to see you all. That was... we at Take the Black are becoming a very exclusive interview podcast. So expect just it to wrap up from here. We had Sarah Beth. We had Jennifer Wood. We mentioned Peter Capaldi. Now we will get Peter Capaldi probably in a couple of weeks.
That easy. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, speaking of Game of Thrones stuff, of course, before we move on, our next topic, of course, is the ongoing filming of House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel series set 180-some years before the show we all know, when Targaryens split off into factions and fight each other on their dragons. All right, I thought we'd check in, because it's always fun to check in and see what's happening. And there are some cool stuff going down on the set of the House of the Dragon. And thank you, Christian. You said it looks like I have a moonshine glass, which... These are just the glasses they have in the office. I don't quite know what the thinking was with them, but...
It's a mason jar. It's very popular. I've got one in my cabinet for water.
Very nice. Yeah, but it does look like straight vodka, doesn't it? But it's not. Maybe. We'll see. All right. So we have some fun new images of some new characters from House of the Dragon. Let's take a look. The first one here, we have Theo Nate as Laenor Velaryon and... Millie Alcock as Rhaenyra Targaryen. Okay. I won't go over the story again. I feel like I've done it too much. But these two are married. And this is a younger version of sort of the lead character. On the right, Rhaenyra is a very important character in the story. And she has... blah, blah, blah. Emma Darcy plays the older version. This is the younger version by Millie Alcock. I have this name straight in my head. And that is Laenor Velaryon. He is her gay husband. Married.
I remember this.
Right, yes. Married for political reasons. They get along perfectly well, but they're kind of in a, he has a boyfriend, she has a lover. It's and they're won't see her at dinner, and it's fine. Yeah, that's cool to see. I don't know if I love the wig, honestly.
Yeah,
on Theo Nate.
It really does look like a mop head. You know, they just kind of chopped it off and slapped it on him. It's really, and I know Daenerys is very distinct. You really don't see any other Targaryens in the original series. So when I see these photos, it just looks like everyone is doing a Daenerys cosplay or a male version of Daenerys cosplay. I'm sure I'll get over it at some point. But yeah, I have not been impressed by the wig so far, even for, who's this, Rhaenyra. I'm like,
Rhaenyra, yeah.
It could just be so much. HBO has so much money. It could be so much better.
I mean, this is like paparazzi photograph from 1,000 meters away. It does look better on the screen. But yeah, I look at that and I do like,
yeah.
I mean, it'd be a very distinctive Halloween costume if you wanted to go with that. But we also have a picture of Theo Nate as Laenor and actor Sully McLeod as Laenor's lover, Sir Joffrey Lonmouth, who is not wearing a wig, so far as I can tell. Pretty sure he's rocking his natural British red hair or whatever. So yeah, we're getting, like, again, family drama. It's always in Game of Thrones, a part of this show too. We got Rhaenyra, who is married to Laenor, who is sleeping with Joffrey, and Rhaenyra is sleeping with Harwin Strong and has kids who they claim are Laenor's. Everyone's like, you know, like, everyone knows, you know, like everyone knows the way Laenor swings, but they just like pretend because they're going to be important royal children. But it comes important later when there's the split and the opposite side says, well, they're not even the real kids. They can't inherit the throne. She's like, oh, like hell they aren't, even though they all have dark hair. Like her kids don't have Targaryen blonde hair, which is kind of the reason
yeah,
people know.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. And then this is kind of a spoiler, but you know what? No, it's spoiler. I won't say it. Family drama is the name of the game. And then we can't forget Matt Smith, Rhaenyra's uncle, seen here waiting.
He's filming an R&B music video. Please don't go. No. Go ahead.
Drunken Love is what I'm getting from this, is when she's on the beach.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he's doing here. There's like a whole series of scenes where Matt Smith in his Targaryen wig is like lying on the beach, exhausted. There was one thing about the sword was kind of like coming out of him, but I think it was just the weird angle. He doesn't die this early. It's fine. And now he is wading into the beach out of despair. There was one video where a guy like gives him a message, like a little scroll, and then he reads it and then just like slaps the guy until he goes down on the ground. Damon's kind of a jackass. That's Matt Smith's character.
All right,
complete jackass.
Right.
He's an emotional gentleman. So I guess he got some bad news and he's not happy. Is what I'm getting from these scenes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, you sure it's not just like Matt Smith after a long day on set?
Yeah.
He's like, boy, looks like that. But now that you give me the description of the video, it does sound like something that they're shooting. It's not just him like behind the scenes.
No, Matt Smith just like in his just full costume, just like, I'm just going to wade into the surf here and see what happens.
Yeah. It's a tough life being Matt Smith. You know, who knows?
Why? I do think this picture should be captioned. It looks like a good one for that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why bother going on living when life is so, so sad? And Julia says he might have lost a ship. It could be the War of the Stepstones. Yeah. It's all coming together. And just it's interesting to see all of these shots coming so quickly together. After we kind of had a long period of, I guess, indoor silence. But it's happening, and it's real, and it's here, and it's coming, and it's House of the Dragon, and it's on HBO and HBO Max in 2022. And as Joanne asked, didn't the Targaryens have a little bit of mental issues in the family? I would say little bit's kind of a understatement. Yes, Targaryens have a history of being a little, a bit out there. Damon's not crazy, though. He's just an ass.
Okay, it's different.
I don't think there really are any crazy ones. Daenerys' father
series,
was nuts.
Right.
No, not really. Like, say, like, the mad Targaryen. The men are, like, mad. Like, Daemon is very, it's a very angry man.
Uh-huh.
As we'll see. And I've always wondered, I've always asked you, do you think Matt Smith can pull off charismatic, smoldering, angry, warlike, sexual dynamo? Because he's going to try.
Yeah, he's going to try. He's a trained British actor, so I don't doubt that he can pull it off.
We're going to see. But yeah, House of Dragons coming along. Still a ways to go, but it's cool to see that it's is taking shape. And I think the wigs will look better on screen.
Maybe.
We'll come back to that later.
So I guess the next topic is something that I really wanted to talk about. Because apparently there's a Venom movie coming out like next week. Maybe probably, I think so, on October 1st. That really came up on me quick. Yeah, Venom Let There Be Carnage. Set for an October 1st release date. It was like October 15th. And then they saw Shang-Chi made a lot of money. And they're like, no, we're going to move it back up to October 1st. But the whole big thing about this and Venom and being the Sony universe and the Sony Spider-Verse is people are wondering, where does Spider-Man fit into all of this? Because in Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire, you know, Venom was... oh, gosh. That was Topher Grace,
played
wasn't it?
By Eric Forman, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 70s show fame. And so Venom was there with Spider-Man. It was a huge plot point in the movie that Sony kind of shoehorned in. Thanks to Sony. But now there's perhaps hope that they can do it a little bit better with Tom Holland's Spider-Man. And there's a quote from Andy Serkis that gives us a little bit of hope. Andy Serkis is directing the movie. You know, that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So
that's cool.
I'll read the
good
quote
for Gollum.
From him.
I really am. I like his trajectory.
Did I read in the Gollum voice? Of course, it's going to happen. No. Andy Serkis on the crossover between Venom and Spider-Man says, of course, it's going to happen. Depends on when you want to get there and also what the appetite is. If people want more Venom stories than to jump straight to Spider-Man, you could be missing out on so many great supervillain characters in between now and then. But yes, everyone wants to see Venom fight Spider-Man, so I think it's appetite. Which I'm not, this is an interesting quote because he says, if there's an appetite, I think that's kind of his like qualifier. And I'm like, well, what do you mean, man? We're asking you about this already. You know, I'm sure he's answered several questions along the press tour already.
Oh, yeah.
About when is Venom going to cross over with Spider-Man. So I'm like, don't you think there's already an appetite for this? And shouldn't you be a little bit more ahead of that conversation, at least on Sony's part?
Oh, of course there should be. I mean, like, that's just a guy who probably knows more than he's saying, doesn't want to mess up and just saying it. Like, that's all anybody wants to see. That's all anybody wants to show them. This is just, I mean, he's right. They'll get together, whether it's in this one or the next one, because superhero movies exist to get to the big payoff. They just got to spend the right amount of money to make it happen. It'll happen sooner or later. I'm fine.
That's interesting.
You leave Gollum
Hardy
alone.
Well, no, it does.
Tired.
The tone of the message does kind of seem like, why? I don't know. It's like, well, we've got all this Venom going on. Why would we want to go to Spider-Man? I'm like, because Spider-Man is Spider-Man. He's like the main, you know, the main event. And he's like,
this man directed an entire movie about Venom. Do you know what that must be like? To like devote all your time and creative energy and all this money to a story, you know, people just are kind of like doing because they can't see what they really want to see, which is Spider-Man fight Venom. He has to convince himself that this movie he spent all this time and effort on is actually worth something. When the reality is, if there was a short 1 minute film where Tom Holland and Tom Hardy, two Toms, got in their spider suits and like slapped each other with fans, it would make so much more money and be so much better than anything involving Venom alone. It is a tough life. Leave Gollum alone. He is trying his best. He's a hard drop.
I know. You're really defending him here. And I mean, you make a good point. I don't want to, you know, I'm not here to ruffle any
You're not. I'm sorry.
No, I know. But it's kind of like Venom is just, it is just okay. When Sony came out with the first movie, I was like, this is just okay. And I mean, they liked it. I think to me, I wouldn't even say it exceeded my expectations. I always said it feels like a movie that should have come out in like 2008 or something that. Like it's, you know,
that.
Something comparable to, you know, a good DC movie. like not bad, but not great. And so it's like, you know, if like, it's like, if you just open that door up and let Kevin Feige in, you know, don't fight it, you know, don't resist. But then the other question is, okay, they've got all these strings going on in the MCU. So how is Venom going to be a part of that when, you know, like they didn't even really have a snap, or did they, or, you know, do they just move on like it never happened?
Alternate universes, man. They're already setting that up. This is all happens in alternate universes.
That's true. Thinking. Yeah.
I'm sure it has less to do with like letting Feige in and more to do with how much do we make him pay is my guess. And I'm sure that's coming along. It'll happen. Yeah. It's just a matter of the right amount of money can change at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do think that Sony is trying to hold on. They're like the last survivor, you know, of this Marvel IP where, you know, I think Universal still has Hulk rights, but that's still like, you know, that's up
they
in the air.
Rights?
But the Hulk, like,
really?
Yeah, like that. He can't or could not have something about solo appearances. Like, we've never had a solo Hulk thing because Universal, I think, is still having a kind of tough graph on. I've lost all ability to speak. The Hulk can't have a solo movie, and I think it's
Jennifer.
Still that way thanks to Universal. Yeah,
I didn't know that. Interesting.
So, Sony.
Which,
I think
good.
They just want to. Yeah, wait, good for what?
I think they should be broken up further. I think Marvel movies is like the Bells back in the 70s or 80s with the phone companies. They'd be broken up by the government and spread out among different studios. That's what I want to happen. I don't want all this crossover stuff. I want one company owns the X-Men, one company owns like just Spider-Man, and another one owns Mary Jane, and they can't do anything together. That's what I'm into.
Well, as we learned, I mean, like, Sony still has kind of like a leash on Tom Holland, as we learned from our good editorial friends on a website that won't be named for recasting.
Marvel can have three of the four Fantastic Four, but not the fourth. That's got to go with Miramax. Wait, they're Disney too, aren't they? Never mind.
Well, let's get what is that? A20? Is that 23 or 24?
I think it's 24.
Have like an indie Marvel film, A24, but it's not really indie. So that's what's going on there. I do think as long as Sony is not stubborn about letting Kevin Feige and the rest of his team, Victoria Alonso, all those other people, of course, they usually don't get as much credit, but they deserve it. Once they let go a little bit and say, okay, we're ready to work with you, it'll happen. And we've got No Way Home. Right, is that it? Yeah, No Way Home coming.
Yeah, big stuff.
And we'll have a lot of crossover there. Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, fingers crossed.
Once Disney ponies up enough money to Sony, they'll let it happen. And
yeah,
then and only then will they be a Jedi and will they cross over.
Exactly. So interesting there, and we'll see what happens.
I think
we'll see what happens after that. So let's jump in then to a fun segment that we call What Are We Watching? Our wonderful, let's see. Oh, I've got to go back and read the comments. Christian says, now me is on moonshine. Yeah, I don't know what I spiked my water with today. That is so strange. I'm going to have to be excused for the rest of the show. Let's get into What Are We Watching? Let us know what you're watching in the comments as well, folks.
Can
use some recommendations. But Emmys were this weekend. I guess we can talk about the Emmys, right?
Of course.
Did you watch the Emmys, Dan?
I did watch the Emmys. I had my patented thing that I've done now, just like kind of just doing laundry, answering emails, doing stuff like that. Emmys are on. Did you know that they actually got watched? The ratings went up, which is interesting. For like the first time in years, they were up.
Wow.
And I mean, they were interesting, kind of predictable in terms of the winners, at least. You know, Ted Lasso won everything on the comedy side.
Mm-hmm.
And The Crown won everything on the drama side. The Crown being a very well-made show that is just sort of like the safe choice. I talked before, like, I think award shows get, especially TV award shows, because with movies, at least something new every year. With TV shows, they kind of get into these grooves and just vote the same things every year. Not necessarily because they deserve it, because they are what they did last year. So, inertia.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed The Crown quite a bit. But it was kind of lame that all that sci-fi fantasy stuff didn't get anything, like The Boys and The Mandalorian and WandaVision. It was all kind of came up aces. I think there were more than that too, but I forgot.
Lovecraft Country. Really,
oh, that
out.
Was nothing. That got nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and again,
well, gosh, Courtney B. Vance, I think got like, but that's the creative Emmy for the guest spot on that show. So that's something. But yeah, in the primetime Emmys, it was like, I thought Lovecraft Country was going to get something.
I did too. I thought it would get something. I mean, yeah, this is a cynical thing to say, but I think it's true. Had Michael K. Williams died before the voting, I think he would have been had a better chance. I think I think folk did it before any of that broke. I think he still, I mean, frankly, I think he still should have deserved it. I thought he gave a really, really,
it was an awesome
performance.
Yeah. And then we had
it was the Emmys.
Hannah Waddingham.
That was nice.
And who does she play again?
She plays Rebecca. Oh, she played Septa Unella, the shame nun, who just walked behind Cersei and went, shame, shame, shame. That was it. And she is Rebecca on Ted Lasso, which was the belle of the ball that night. And it is a very good show. It's very fun. And it's great to see her win. She was very sweet. She was very bubbly. She was very happy to be there and accepting. She looks great in that peach gown. God, and she looks great with the Emmy.
Yeah, that's like my favorite color. So I approve of the gown.
Even the flag
eventually,
isn't better. So congrats. Although, again, it is a little weird narrative-wise that now the angry bell-ringing shame nun has an Emmy, but Cersei Lannister does not, which I think is a little weird. But that's not her fault. Good for you, Hannah Waddingham. Excellent job on Ted Lasso.
Yeah, maybe I will watch that. Maybe I will watch Ted Lasso. I know everyone won't stop talking about it. Not like Jason Sudeikis, at least, so that's a plus. But yeah, otherwise, I wasn't surprised about The Mandalorian. Like last year, The Mandalorian took home a lot of creative Emmys, and then it was silent for the rest of the night. So I also had a sneaking suspicion that WandaVision was going to be the same. Like they're going to get all these creative Emmys, and then when it comes down to the meat of it, you know, it's going to be silence. So that's unfortunate. Like I had a tweet in my drafts ready, you know, like, oh, you know, the tweet I sent out that night. Oh, it's so unfortunate. We love The Mandalorian. I think I had that prepared like an hour before the drama category was called, because I was like, I know how this is going to end. So Emmys were something. I'm like, yeah, it's predictable. I could do without it, but it is nice to see the people who did win, I guess. Michaela Cole. Oh, she did win for, I believe that was writing for I May Destroy You. So that was an awesome one, at least.
The best part was Seth Rogen saying, like, we should not be here. This is inappropriate. They told me this was outside. They lied. What are we all doing here? I would not have come to this if I had known.
Oh, Seth Rogen. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That's
good. My opinion on that. Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, that was that. And also, what I watched this week was something interesting. Star Wars Visions, which I teased last week. Now I can finally give my review, which is the Star Wars anime. And this one is interesting because it is anime set in the Star Wars universe, but an anthology series. So every episode is a standalone. Every episode is done by like a small Japanese animation studio. Cool. And it is not necessarily canon. Like all of this is just kind of done within the imaginations of these creators. So it's like Lucasfilm said, hey, can come up with any story you want, as long as it's set within the Star Wars universe. So I found it to be really enjoyable. It is really, it's one of those series where I wrote in my review that you're looking at it for the entertainment value, but also for the art, because it's like each episode has its own palette, color palette, animation style. One looks like it's straight out of a manga. The other kind of maybe looks like Studio Ghibli and all these other great things.
That's cool.
So it's really fun. It's really cute. I think my favorite was, it's called The Ninth Jedi. And gosh, like, how do I even describe it? The girl has like a spunky kind of Studio Ghibli character attitude.
Nice.
And they're trying to find the last Jedi in the galaxy, even though, you know, the Empire is looking for them, and something happens to her father. He's building secret lightsabers and all that. So that was a very imaginative story. One story, it was okay. It's about a rock band on Tatooine. And to me, that was about it. But they're all really, really cute. And oh, one, and then I'll stop. There's another one about a boy, a robot who wishes to be a real boy and a real Jedi, which is like very Pinocchio-like.
Oh, I like
that.
It's got
some Astro Boy vibe. So yeah, it is really cute. Each is no more than like 20 or so minutes. Sometimes it's less. And I'm like, this is something where you just take it slow. Like, you don't have to binge watch it all. I think it's worth taking it slow and watching it piece by piece by piece. So it was really cute. Oh, but the caveat is, if you don't like anime, I don't think this is going to change your mind about anime. That was my one caveat.
As Christian says, Star Wars What If, me as someone who's seen both of them, what do you prefer? Star Wars Visions or What If? Anthology, giant franchise-wise.
I almost think I would prefer What If. I've really been enjoying the imagination that the Marvel one has been using for the most part. This one, because they have, these are like original characters. I think like Boba Fett might be the only character that returns in this series, or maybe another person as well. But so this is like brand new. Sometimes it feels like Star Wars, sometimes it doesn't. It's like, it's got those hints of Star Wars, but it's all original. So you don't really feel attached to the characters until like basically the end of the short.
Right, fair enough. I think it's pretty cool.
It's a Star Wars version. In a way, yeah, Christian said it's kind of like a Star Wars version of What If. In a way, yeah, like What If, you know, it's very stemmed in the Eastern culture. So, you know, you've got all these ideas. What if lightsabers could be katanas and all those sorts of things? So that's, it is really cool in that regard.
Oh, yeah, Christian, like, I know what you were suggesting. I just want to take your comment and turn it into forcing me to make a Sophie's Choice, which I always think is fun to do in any circumstance.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome. And Julie says she found out that the guy who played Oral in Game of Thrones, Mackenzie Cook, plays Vera Nibritania. Make him amazing. I remember Oral. Remember him getting raked by the... Oh, no, he was the bird. And then he raked Jon Snow's face. Then he died. Well, he's gone now. I'm glad to show him join Britannia, Julie. And the quest goes on. And as Christian says, could the fact that more people are watching stuck at home, watching TV, account for the bigger Emmy ratings? And like, yeah, but last year they were down. We were all stuck at home then too. Oh, that was like the really DIY Emmys, where everyone was like in their suits, just like to the waist at home. So maybe that wasn't quite elaborate enough for folk to tune in, but I don't know. Oh, and I'm watching Foundation. Just a quick note. Foundation, it starts, I think, this
embargo,
Friday.
Embargo is tomorrow. I thought I was going to message you that. But I just saw that the embargo was tomorrow, so...
Well, all I'm saying is Foundation starts Friday. So that's the truth.
Okay. All right. That was crisis averted. Well, I think I'm ready for our final segment. Are you?
Ooh, I am too. I haven't looked at these. I'm excited.
Okay. So we are heading on into the WIC news lightning round. Pew, 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 thunder lightning.
Krakow.
All right. So, Dan, you kick this one off.
Okay.
And I will answer.
All right. 20 seconds on the clock for all of these answers. Mia, Stranger Things season 4. It's finished filming. What do you think?
Yay. Hooray. Yeah. This has been a really long filming process.
Yeah, it has.
I believe they started last year, and like 2 weeks after they had to stop because of COVID, of course. They finally picked back up. We thought maybe we could get it this year. Not going to happen. So we'll be humming next year, but that's really, really awesome. And I'm excited to see how the series picks up.
Perfect.
Yay.
I love that. Like, just the hanging on up. Perfect. Okay. Hit me.
All right, Dan. Our good character Logan Roy went full effing beast in the trailer for Succession season 3.
Season 3, baby. It's coming. Season 3 trailer dropped. It looks great. I mean, it has all the same hallmarks you expect. The kind of dysfunctional characters making well-written smart aleck remarks. The skewering of the American 1%. Looking forward to it a lot. The great music. It comes in October. I love it. It's the best show other than What We Do in the Shadows. Those are the two best shows on TV right now, and I wanted to watch it really badly.
Wow. Bold, bold words. All right.
All right. This is a fun one. Mia, George Lucas's ex-wife and the editor of like the first three Star Wars films hates the Star Wars sequels, says they're just terrible, awful.
Yeah, she really came for Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams. This is from a quote in a book where she was interviewed, and she was just talking about she was really upset they killed Luke and Han, and she didn't like the way they set up Rey. She said she had no how did she get her powers? A lot of people were like, ouch, that's kind of harsh. But I guess everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but she really was, oof.
She went in. All right.
Yes. Okay. We have a photo question. I hope I say this right. The Wheel of Time recast Matt Cawthon. I hope that's right, for season two.
Yeah.
For season two?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. It's pretty big. So Matt's a huge character in the book, like one of the main characters. He was played by Barney Harris in season one. Now, before the show even stops, we learn that an actor named Donald Finn is going to play him in the season two because the original actor drops out. We don't know why. It's big. I mean, that's like a pretty big shakeup this early. We don't know why. It's probably fine, but it's probably fine.
Yeah. Very surprising.
Surprising. Yes. All right. More Star Wars stuff. Ewan McGregor teases that Obi-Wan Kenobi show. It's done filming. And according to McGregor, it will not disappoint.
that's really quote. Cool. And he also won an Emmy for Halston on Sunday. So that was really awesome. But yeah, it's nice to know that it's finally done filming as well. We should see maybe a mid 2022 release date. And I'm really looking forward to this one because everyone loves Obi-Wan Ewan McGregor, and should be a very triumphant return for him because it was not so triumphant during the prequels.
He got out of those alive. He did a good job in those. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Howard Shore may return to score the Lord of the Rings TV show.
Okay, two minds. I mean, A, I love that score. Everyone does. Howard Shore's score. So it's cool that he's back. I mean, part of me is like, I don't know. Do you want something new? Like, get somebody new to make a kind of a new stamp in this really original show. But I mean, that score is iconic. Can he do the same thing 20 years later? Let's see. I'm rooting for you, Howard Shore. We're getting so good at this.
Yes.
Okay. Mia, the next Fantastic Beasts movie is officially titled Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Ooh, yeah. What is that going to be all about? Which is interesting because it could also, you know, Secrets of Dumbledore, we're thinking about Jude Law's Dumbledore. It could also be... you know, who is that? Ezra's Dumbledore in this as well, because he's got a lot of secrets because, oh, spoiler alert, but I really like that secret to be the romance between him and Grindelwald, which is now Mads Mikkelsen, and I'm really looking forward to that, even though it's Fantastic Beasts.
It's going to be curious.
Okay.
I could talk for a while about that, but we'll move on.
Yeah. And finally, Warner Brothers will reboot The Lost Boys in theaters.
The Lost Boys, classic 80s vampire movies. Teenagers, they're vampires. They're running wild. They're sucking blood. They're kind of like hedonistic, fun-loving people. Vampire resurgence. Interview with the Vampire. Twilight's back on Netflix. Now The Lost Boys. Vampires are coming back. There's another evidence of it. Get ready. I don't care if you want it or not. You're going to have it. And get ready for a lot more vampires in the coming years. This was really good. We did not go under.
We're gonna have to trim it to 15 seconds next. This is like too easy. No, please don't.
Maybe let's challenge ourselves and develop that skill we can't use anywhere else. But yeah, I'm proud of us, and I'm proud of you for watching. Very happy with you guys. Thank you for joining us, and of course we. Stream new episodes every Wednesday live, Take the Black Live, on our Winter is Coming Facebook page and the Winter is Coming YouTube channel. And if you'd like to have even more Take the Black and Dan Mia fun, you can join the Wick Club, where you kind of buy a Wick Club t-shirt to mark you as a fan of us, and then you get extra videos, extra articles, and a monthly prize. And the site's not cooperating, but the description, I believe, is somewhere in the immediate vicinity. And thanks for watching us, guys. Bye, Julie. And we'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.